So let's talk about ripe. Okay, R stands for what? Okay, that was like about a C minus. Okay, R stands for what?
Read.
I stands for what? Okay, so that was another C minus. Okay, I is invite. Everybody say invite. Invite. Who knows what P stands for? Oh, that's good. Okay. Who knows what E stands for?
Expect.
Okay. So R stands for what?
Read.
I stands for what?
Invite.
Excuse me. P stands for what?
Pray.
And E stands for what?
Expect.
And here's what I hear God saying. I hear God saying, press the people to do all these four things. Not like when they get around to it. Not like if they feel like it. Not like, remember the football example that I had Sunday? Remember all those people? Remember the snow? How many came Sunday? Okay. Remember the snow bowl? Fully snowing. And they got all these people in the stands. Here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. Speak to the people and say, hey, it's time to step up. It's time to just jump in. Amen. And I hear God saying that let's do all of these things. So guess what I'm going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about R. Yeah, but you talked about R last Sunday, and you talked about R last Wednesday, and you talked about R the Sunday before, and you talked about R the Wednesday before.
Nice.
Repetition is the motor of learning. Here, let me just ask you, be honest, you're in church. How many have read Luke 24 today? Okay. Good. So we're about halfway there. Amen? Amen? No condemnation, but I don't even know. Can somebody, I jacked up my phone. Can somebody find out where we're going tomorrow? Acts chapter 1. Okay, so that's good. That's good. I want to encourage you today. It's not too late. Here's the good news. If you've read Luke 24, praise God. If you haven't read Luke 24, it's not too late. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not too late. Okay? And there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, man, Pastor was. No. Because I'm going to show you today. I'm going to show you. If you haven't read Luke 24 yet, I'm going to show you how awesome Luke 24 was. Because I read it already. It is so good. You want me to show you what God showed me today in Luke 24? That's my sermon. All I'm going to do is just show you how awesome Luke 24. What am I doing? I'm trying to motivate you to read Luke 24 tonight and to read Acts chapter. You said, but pastor, you're a pastor. All this stuff makes all sense to you. No, here, listen. I am a child of God.
Amen.
Listen, there's a different, God's not a respecter of persons. You think he loves me more than he loves you? No. You think he's willing to talk to me more than he's willing to talk to you? Well, he's willing to talk to anyone, it's one of my points, if they're willing to sit down and listen to him. But I'm going to show you how awesome Luke 24 is. So turn with me to where?
Luke 24.
No, I was just joking. We'll get to there. Turn to James chapter, or guys in the back, go to James chapter 4, verse 8. We'll get to Luke 24 in a minute. My sermon title is God Wants to Speak. You guys got to look up here. To you. And he wants to speak to you. And he wants to speak to you. And he wants to speak to you and you and you and you and you. He wants to speak. See, God is into you. He wants to speak to you. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You. Yeah, but I'm not a... Yeah, but stop talking about what you're not. God likes you. I told the Academy of Righteousness, stop talking about your flabby ears or your big ears or your big nose or you don't like your hair or your forehead too big or your feet are too small or whatever. You don't like how your eyebrows go. Hey, be quiet. God likes your eyebrows and God likes your forehead and God likes your nose and God likes your ears and God thinks you're the right height. Amen. How do you know? Because he made you like that. He got done with you and he said, ooh, man. Only made one masterpiece like this. Right? And you're gonna let some you're gonna let some ding dong in Hollywood tell you what pretty is. Let me tell you what. You're just how God likes you. So stop critiquing God in what he's making ain't good. He likes you. I'm speaking to somebody. Stop looking at things that you think are wrong with you and pointing them out. You know what? You got big feet and you just put a pair of 13s on and you walk like you're king of the hill. Amen? Or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Right? Stop arguing with God. He likes how you look. There's nobody like you. He got done making you. He was like, oh my goodness. I think I've outdone myself today. Amen. Amen. Anyone who draws close to God, God wants to draw close to them. You know what? My first point is this. Number one, God will speak to you every day. God will speak to you every day if you will give him time to speak to you. God will speak to you every day if you'll simply give him time. Why? Because he's promised, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. I promise I will. How many know God can't lie? That's right. I'm telling you what. That is a phenomenal truth. That God, who knows the beginning from the end, will speak to you. What is he going to tell you? Well, he's going to give you all kinds of direction. He's going to give you all kinds of insight. How many insight in running your life? How many need some help? You can get the smartest person in the universe to help you. But how are you going to do it? You have to open up your word and give him an opportunity to speak to you. I did. He showed me some things today. I'm going to show you. Now you ready to go to Luke 24? And all I'm going to do is just share with you some awesome things that he shared with me. But understand my motivation. My motivation is to try to motivate you. You know what I want to do tonight? I want to get you jealous. That's what I want to do. I want to get you jealous. I want you to go, man, you know what? I wish I would have read Luke 24 today. Right? And if you did, you already know how awesome it is. But listen, God showed me some things, and I want to share them with you. First thing he showed me is, and let me go over to Luke myself. Luke chapter 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke 24. And the first thing he showed me is in verse 8. Look what it says in verse 8. Here's my point. They remembered what they had heard. They remembered, you know what they remembered? What they had heard. And so here's the story. The ladies are going down to the tomb. The angel is like, hey, ladies, why are you tripping? They're like, whoa, Jesus, he's not there. The angel's like, ladies, why are you tripping? Of course he's not there. Don't you remember he told you that he was going to die, but on the third day he was going to be resurrected? Then verse 8, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. Now, this might seem like a small point, but as I'm reading, I'm encouraged because I'm thinking of all the times that I've gotten into a situation, and because, everybody say that, because I put the word in, I was able to pull the word out. See, look at my point. Guys, go to my point. They remembered what they had heard. We say, yeah, but Pastor, Jesus isn't around here anymore. You know what? How can we hear? Well, Jesus isn't around. Well, first of all, he's up in heaven praying with you, for you. But second of all, his words are right in front of you any day that you open them up. And here's what I want to encourage you. If you start putting God's word in, then at the appropriate time, you will remember what he said. David said, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Hey, somebody in the back, go turn off that music out there. It's distracting me. Here's what I want to say. And remember to turn it on when we're done, okay? Remember this, that to pull it out, you've got to put it in. Here's the good news. Once it's in there, I remember when I was surfing with my cool cat buddy, Bill Bear. That's a cool name, huh, Bill Bear? And I went to that highly academic high school filled with incredible, very, very intelligent people and athletic powerhouse also, may I say that. But I remember Bill Bear went to high school with me, and then, you know what, I moved down to Newport Beach. Bill still lived in Whittier, but he'd come down and we'd go surfing together. And I remember, let me go back a little bit farther than that. My father was a pastor, was an awesome pastor, preached all kinds of sermons, listen, that I thought I was paying no attention to. I'm setting you up. Y'all know I had a drug problem when I was growing up, right? My parents drugged me to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, okay? And you'd think like I wasn't paying attention. Let me tell you what. Today in Luke chapter 24, verse 8, the Holy Spirit reminded me that which I put in, he can pull out. And we were done surfing, and Bill had some spiritual questions, and he started asking those spiritual questions. And all of a sudden, I started answering them. Rivers of life was flowing out of my mouth. And I was like, man, this is good stuff. Now, you think that was egotistical? Trust me, that was not egotistical. I wasn't like, wow, this is good stuff. Like, I was like, trip out. Where is this coming from? Do you understand the difference? I was like, man, this is good. Who's doing this? Where's this coming from? Let me tell you where it was coming from. It was coming from the preaching of my father that was poured into me. Yes. See, Jesus said, God says that which is in can come out. And I thought, man, praise God that my parents had the discipline. Listen, I love what Pastor Tamara said 2 weeks ago. Listen to me, parents, and you gauge it. If your children come up to you and say, "Are we going to church? Tomorrow, if it's Saturday or whatever, are we going to church this weekend?" You know what? I'm telling you what, you better sharpen your pencil. Amen. Tyler, Megan, Shayla, never ask me if we're going to church this Sunday. Yeah. Why? Because it wasn't a question. Yeah. And they never asked me whether we were going Wednesday. You just get them here. And you let us partner with you to pour in. Pour in, pour in, pour in. Because at this church, you know what? We do more than just get out the crayons and have your kids color. Amen? Amen. So, boom. Verse 8. Isn't that an awesome revelation? Where'd you learn that? I just learned that. I'm just minding my own business. Reading the Bible. And Jesus said, pay attention. They were able to remember it because they had put it in at some point in time. How many know that's a good revelation? Okay. Number one, they remembered what they had heard. Number two, but we're already on three. Look at verse 25. Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in the prophet, what the prophets had spoken." Let's go up a little bit. Go to verse 22. "Yes, and certain women of the company who arrived at the tomb early astonish us when they did not find his body. They came saying that what they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." Now, let me teach you what's going on. They are tripping out. They go back to the apostles, tell the apostles what happened. "Man, this happened." And the apostles aren't like, "Praise God, that's exactly what Jesus said. We knew he was going to do it." They didn't say that. You know what? Some of them ran down there, and when they ran down there and saw that, they're like, "Huh." They were astonished, and they were surprised. And God says to them, you know what? You're foolish. How many know, understand, you know what? God has the integrity to confront you in where you're messing up. And here's what I want you to catch, and write this down. This is my third point. God will, my third point. Jesus says it is foolish to not believe the Bible. All eyes up here. He's going, guys, you foolish ones, because the prophets, did the apostles have a Bible? How many think no? Raise your hand if you think they didn't have a Bible. Raise your hand real high. You got it. Everybody's voting. How many think the apostles didn't have a Bible? Raise your hand real high. Raise your hand if you think they did have a Bible. Okay, some of you aren't voting. Raise your hand if you think they did have a Bible. Okay? Okay, if you have your hand up, you're right. They had a Bible. They had a Bible. And they not only had a Bible, they had a Bible that was translated from Hebrew to Greek. Many of them knew all kinds of languages. But they had a Bible that was translated. The Old Testament had already been translated into Greek. Their Bible was the Old Testament. They at this point in time, they didn't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The church wasn't even there yet. 1st Corinthians wasn't there. They didn't have Philippians. They didn't have Galatians. They didn't have Ephesians. They didn't have any of the New Testament. But they had Isaiah, right? They had all the books that Moses wrote. They had all the Old Testament, and it was already translated. They had a Bible. Where was their Bible? Their Bible was the Old Testament. They had all the promises. And let me tell you about the Old Testament. Jesus was foreseen in the Old Testament. All the prophets were like, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Not only is Jesus coming, but we're going to talk to you about his baptism. Yeah. Remember this? John the Baptist is like, dude, I can't baptize you. You got to baptize me. Yep, what was Jesus' argument to John the Baptist, and why was John the Baptist obedient to baptize Jesus? Because he said, you know what, you have to. Because the prophets have written this, you have to fulfill the passages of the Old Testament. Read the Bible. Are you learning something today? You know how the main way that the apostles got the Jewish people saved? The Jews weren't saved. They couldn't be. The Messiah, you know what? Jesus is our salvation. The Jews weren't saved. How did the apostles get people born again? They went back to the Old Testament. They taught them. They said, look. Look what Daniel said. Look what Isaiah said. Look what Moses said. They were all pointing to Jesus. Hello? And so, you know what? Jesus is saying, guys, this is foolishness. Can I tell you what? God spoke to me today and he reminded me in this passage that we need to believe the Bible. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus, you know what, rich guy, you know what, just partying it up, having a great time, not paying attention to the things of God. I know who am I speaking to. Can I tell you what's going to happen in Judgment Day? God is not going to judge you, per se. All as God is going to do is shine the light on who was your king. That's all he's going to do. And your deeds are what, that's what he's pulling out. He's going to look at your deeds and your actions are going to declare whether you're a sheep or a goat. Jesus said, I ain't going to judge no one. My word's going to judge you. And your deeds are going to judge you. Are you learning something? So Lazarus, he's just like, oh, dude. That's the problem. Can I preach to somebody? Yes. That's the problem. See, we think, because what happens? We're like, you know what? We sex it up. We smoke it up. We talk it up. How many of the Bible says you're going to be condemned by words? By you're going to be justified by your words, and you're going to be condemned by your words. So we do all that. And what happens many times, we don't see the ramifications right away. Let me prove it to you. How many ever got away with something? Raise your hand real high if you got away with something. Okay, and raise your hand real high, wave it to me, say, yeah, I did. Okay, no, you didn't. I mean, no, I set you up all the time. You don't get away with nothing. Nothing. Okay? Nobody gets away with anything. Don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you can reap. Now, absolutely, you can repent. You know what? You can turn from your stuff and praise God. You can start to sow good seeds of good and change your life drastically. That's absolutely true. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Who was I talking about? Lazarus. Lazarus is like, man, you know what? Because all of us think, oh, we got tomorrow. We got tomorrow. We got tomorrow. We got tomorrow. Here's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to get right with God. Today is the day for you to confess, God's right, I'm wrong. God's going to be my Lord. God's going to tell me what to do. I'm not running my life anymore. Today is that day. Today, the Bible says, today is the day of wholeness. God wants to give you wholeness, but he cannot if you keep on controlling your life. You have to relinquish control. That is called Christianity. Lazarus wouldn't do it. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. All of us are going to wake up one day, and that will be our last day. But how many know we don't know when that day is? We don't know. Today is the day for you to get right with God. Amen? So Lazarus didn't go, all right, you know what I mean? And some people don't even care about the things of God. But whatever Lazarus was, he didn't care, he didn't know. He always thought, like many people, we always have tomorrow. Boom, he ends up, you know what, away from God. And all he wants is just one drop of water on his tongue. Just one drop of water. Just God, just give me one drop of water. God says, dude, you don't understand. There's this separation. It ain't going to happen. You know, people think that, you know what? You know, oh, no, Pastor, my grandma spoke to me. She really did. No, she didn't. Your grandma can't. My grandma that passed away, she spoke. No, she didn't. She can't. Jesus said that. Argue with Jesus. Rich man. Yeah, but his name was Lazarus, wasn't it? No. Oh, Lazarus was a poor guy. Praise God. Somebody's reading their Bible. Amen. Okay, amen. Thank you, thank you. If you think you found a perfect church, you have not. Obviously. All right? Okay. So anyway, but I don't pretend to know everything. And sometimes, anyway, I'm moving on, okay? But thank you for that point. Okay, so the rich man, thank you. The rich man, he's like, you know what? But here's what the Bible says. That person can't come on over. Pastor, but how did they know? Because they knew I had a special ring. And I used to put that under the pillow. And grandma was the only one who knew that. Huh? What about that? What about that? You don't think that there's demons who know where that ring is? And who will mimic the voice of your grandma? And see, and you're gonna be led all over by, you know what, by your sight, not by the word of God. No, Jesus said, they can't come over. You're being deceived by the demonic. That's what's going on there. It's sorcery, and you better stay away from that. You better stay away from the Ouija boards. You better stay away from the tarot card readers. Oh, no, I just like calling to get my, it's just fun. Stay away from that stuff, guys. You don't know what you're playing with. Are we moving on? Lazarus says, okay, well, at least send someone to my brothers to tell them. You know what Jesus says? He says, let me tell you what. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they are not going to believe if I send somebody to them. It is foolish not to believe what God says. Now he says, it's foolish not to believe the prophets. What's the prophets? The prophets was their Bible. It's foolishness for you not to believe the word of God. Because let me tell you about God. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And all I'm doing is reading. How many see some revelation of this? God gave it all to me for free. God spoke it, reminded me. Today he did. How come? Here's why. Because I drew close to him today. And he reminded me, Drew, it's foolish not to believe what I say. That is a wow, is it not? Woo! Number four, Luke chapter 24. Oh, this was so good. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 30. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them. So what's going on? Well, Jesus is walking with these guys, with some of his apostles, but they don't know that it's Jesus yet. He's going to reveal it to them later. And so he stops and they sit down. Watch this. And they break bread. Watch this. This is so good. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them and took bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Now I'm thinking, wow, this sounds familiar. Watch the next verse. Then their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. I'm reading this today and I'm thinking, when I read this, I thought, I bet that when he broke that bread and handed it to them, that they were like, wait a minute. This is too familiar. Only one person did that. Yeah, exactly. I was like, whoa! Okay. Now that's what I thought. Is that cool? And I'm thinking, whoa, this is cool. But let me teach you something. The word will confirm things for you. Look down to verse 35. And they had told about these things that had happened on the road. Watch this, a confirmation of what the Holy Spirit had just revealed to me. Watch this. And how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. I wish you could have been me today, because I said, whoa! I knew it. Why did God do that? Because I think God just likes to bless us sometimes. And he confirmed his word. Here's my point. God will show you cool stuff. He'll show you all kinds of cool stuff. If you'll be willing to read just a chapter slowly. Number five. God's word will deal with you. God's word will deal with us. Look at verse 32, okay? and get ready for this. Look at verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? Did not our hearts burn with us as he talked to us on the road? Then, you don't have to turn there because I have it up here. Guys, get ready to roll with me. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14. Everybody say their hearts burned. Okay, now here's what's happened. This is Acts chapter 2. They all got filled with this Holy Spirit. Are you learning some stuff today? Okay. They all got filled with the Holy Spirit. A bunch of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter gets excited, and he's going to stand up and preach. But here's what I want you to take notice. Peter preached what was in the Old Testament. Now, he preached what Jesus said, too. But here's what I want you to know. And Peter, standing up with the 12, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. They're speaking in tongues. Everybody's tripping out. Whoa, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? They got this big crowd. Peter sees this big crowd and thinks, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start preaching. He stands up there and says, hey, men of Judea and all who dwell in Judea. He starts preaching. Amen. Let this be known to you and heed my words. Now, watch what the words, is he going to come up with just any words? No, look what he's going to do. Look at verse 16. For these are not drunk. No, 16, guys. 16. No, 14. 14. No, 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, that's what we're gonna tell you. Now go to verse 17. And it shall come to pass. What's he doing? He's quoting the Old Testament. Now go to verse 22. 22. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. So he's quoting the Old Testament, but how many know Peter was with Jesus? So he starts telling them about Jesus and what Jesus said. Now go to verse 25. For David said concerning him. Now he's going to say what David, how many know David's Old Testament? Now he's going to say what David said about Jesus. Are you learning something? Yeah. Now go to verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let everyone of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now we'll look at verse 39. For the promise is to you and to all the children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. I didn't get to my point yet. Give me a second. Oh, verse 39. For the promise is to you and to all your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. Oh, I'm sorry. Go to verse 37. Now, when they heard this, what? The word of God. You know what they were? They were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. Luke said, man, didn't our hearts burn when what? When he spoke to us? Here's my point. When you preach the word, when you hear the word, when you hear the words of Jesus, you can be right there in your home, minding your own business, and God is going to do some heart surgery. And he's going to be able to talk to you. and your heart, however you describe it, you can describe it as, didn't our hearts burn? You can describe it as they were cut to the heart. The Bible says the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce the bone of mire. Here's what it says, and is able to judge the intent of your heart. So you're sitting there and you're reading it, and it cuts your heart. It burns your heart. However you say it, here's what's happening. God is making a correction. What's your heart represent? The heart represents of who you really are. Amen. Yeah. And God is able to go, hey, you know why you did that? Or you think you did it because of this? But let me tell you what's really going on. And your heart is cut. And listen, and that cutting isn't a bad thing. When people go and they have surgery, and that surgeon cuts all out that cancer. And after the surgery is over, and the patient is healing and feeling better and knows that that cancer has been cut out, he doesn't go to the surgeon and go, what is your problem? That knife was so sharp, I was having pain for the next 8 weeks. They don't say that at all. What do they say to the surgeon? Thank you, doctor. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's what I'm saying. In both cases, when Jesus is talking to them, they say, weren't we, our hearts burned? In this case, Peter is quoting the word to them, and they say, oh, man, their heart is cut. When can that happen? You choose. It's going to happen at 2 o'clock tomorrow. It's going to happen at 8 o'clock tomorrow. It's going to happen at 10 o'clock tomorrow. It's going to happen at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I don't know. When are you going to? You know, it happened to me today. God cut my heart. God spoke to me. I got to stop, but here's what I'm saying. I hope somebody, listen, I hope, my prayer, God help us as a church, to every single one of us, desire to allow the word of God to change us. Give us, God, I pray that we would be hungry for your word. And I pray that this message would encourage people to get hungry. Get hungry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.